July 7th, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Before we open with a short dua, we have an announcement. We are asking everybody to say a prayer for our beloved sister, Aisha Dennis Kamal, Judge Bashir's daughter. They had her janaza today. I was just informed. So we are asking Allah to bless her. We are praying for her soul. And we ask Allah to strengthen her family. First of all, bless her, forgive her faults and her sins, and admit her to the paradise, and bless her family, that they will have strong faith in him during this hour of their bereavement. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Fatiha, Fatiha open of the way for establishing your purpose. The Quran begins with Al-Fatiha. We know the meaning of it. It means the opening. It also may give the message of opening and victory, although there is another chapter by the title, The Victory. So when someone is at war with the enemy, with another army, and one army gets victory and conquers the place that they're aiming to conquer, the victory of that army over the other army and that place is referred to as faith. It means he opened that city. So to open a city to your purpose is a victory. That's your victory. That's conquest. So really, Al-Fatiha brings to mind not only the opening of the Quran, but it brings to mind the opening of the way for establishing your purpose. You open a city up and you establish your life there. You establish yourself there. The opening of the way to establish your purpose is a victory, an opening, a conquest. And we are going to read it and look at the language of that chapter. So the verse says, the first verse says, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Unlike the other chapter, it's the first verse of this chapter, whereas the other chapter, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, is the opening, and the first verse begins with something else. Let us take for an example the next chapter, Surat Al-Baqarah. The first verse is Alif Lam Mim, not Bismillah Rahman Rahim. But for Al-Fatiha, the first verse is Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And there are a total of seven verses, the last being the path, the seventh of the verses. Al-Fatiha has seven verses, double equals 14. Now this chapter is called the seven Latin verses, ayats. So these seven are referred to as seven in double. So if you have seven in double, the total would be 14. Wouldn't it? Although the verses are seven, it has a reference also to 14. And this chapter, in my opinion, is addressing many things. It has been called the essence of the whole Quran. What we want to look at this morning after the Fajr prayer is its message to the whole world, and not just a message to the world, the whole world, but its message to the problems that are in the way of us having the world as one. So those that came before and gave the wrong understanding and religion caused us to see the world in pieces, in division, and lost the light that wanted us to first to see the world as a whole, mankind as one, man's purpose as one, and also creation as one. So we could discuss that later, maybe. So it starts off with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Has God been understood not to be Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim? If he hasn't, then why is there here? So this is the opening. This is very important. So God must have been understood as Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim. So this has direct reference to the scripture to the people of Abraham, to the scripture that came to the people of Abraham, the Jews and the Christians, and those in the world who have similar beliefs. So we find in the scripture, the Jews, there is one extreme in the scripture, of the Christian, another extreme. So we are not here to criticize anybody's religion or anybody's scripture, okay? I'm perfectly at peace with the Jews and the Christians when they follow their religion. Rahim addresses Jews' views of God as a punisher. So one extreme was from the Jews who made the world for Israel and made the God, the Lord of Israel, not the Lord of all people, the God of Israel, etc. So this is the one extreme that Bismillahirrahmanirrahim come to correct. And then the Christians came and they looked at the God of Israel through the teachings of Christ Jesus. As they understood the teachings of Christ Jesus, they looked at the Jewish people and the Old Testament, as they called it, and they resent the extreme the Jews went to. And they see the Jews' version of perception of God as a God that is stern, severe, a punishing God, a God that's ready to punish. So Christian extreme is God is only love without restrictions. The Christian went to the other extreme, and they said God is a loving God. Now, you know, we cannot give God too much praise as a God of love and mercy, etc. But if you don't have that balance, then you lead the people to another extreme where God becomes lover and mercy, and they forget the restriction. They forget the law. They forget that God is severe punishment too. So we have those two extremes in the world, and the Quran came to correct that and put up squarely and solidly on our feet in the balance. You see, I just made a cross, didn't I? I said solidly on our feet and in the balance. So the Quran balances the extremes. So the Quran came to put us upright, solidly upon our feet and in the balance, and not going to either extreme. And the message to the world is that God is beneficent. In the translation of the Ahmadiyya, which is an excellent translation, it just has some problems, a few serious problems, but an excellent translation. So Rahim, mercy, the womb of mother. So God is the beneficent, the merciful, and now we use the language God is merciful in giving and generosity and his kindness supplying us with all of our needs. So we say the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. God is mercy in redeeming man after he has gone astray, fallen and lost the way. So God is merciful to bring him back, to redeem him, to give him life again. His mercy gives him life in the first place from his mother. He came to life, and the life from his father. But I'm speaking of the compassion now. Mama is symbolic of the compassion that has been shown the light. One teacher in Al-Islam said, the man carries the light burden, the woman carries the heavy burden. The sperm is light, the baby in the womb is heavy. So the womb of the mama is the mercy of God. Whereas the life is received and cared for, they're in the domain of the womb of the mother. The exact language, you know, we don't use. Science tells us just where the baby is. But we do know it is in the stomach because it gets so large. The stomach just explodes almost. So she carries that burden, and while the life is there, it is being cared for. It experiences no difficulty, and it comes out here, and it can't remember any pain. We know it suffered, but it doesn't remember any pain. It can recall any discomfort, and is empowered, walks there very nicely and protected very nicely until it becomes fully developed for delivery into our world. So this is the compassion, the mercy of God. Then when the baby comes out, the baby finds milk ready. The mother doesn't have to say, oh, I've got a living child here. What am I going to feed it? Food is there ready, for it's right where she would like to hold it next to her heart, right? So this is symbolic of the mercy and the beneficence of God, the merciful beneficence that comes with mercy to human beings. God is our Rahim. So we mentioned that he's mercy after we lose the way, then he's mercy to help us come back to the way, to redeem us after we are lost or after we are astray. So that's why God is called Al-Rahim. It is to show that God is merciful, but he did not just become merciful with the Christian era. He was merciful from the very beginning. In creating the world and creating life, that's where we see his mercy. So his giving and educating and helping man to come to civilization has been his mercy. The people before the Christian era, the people of the book, they were given guidance that guided them to the path of knowledge and benefit. So that is the mercy of God. So mercy is not just helping the sick, the blind to see. That's not the only mercy. The big mercy is that God created this beautiful universe, and he is so kind in bringing you the benefits of this universe. God is merciful, but don't forget that his mercy is not just coming. His mercy has been always. That's the point. So we see God in the right light. We can praise him now with the right praise. The Bible says with the perfect praise, Alhamdulillah, praise is to God. So God is Lord of the world, not just one people. So the second problem, Rabbil Alameen, somebody, said that he's Lord of Israel. No, he's Lord of all the worlds. He's everybody's Lord equally too. So Rab close to the word Rabbian, meaning two parents. So the first verse is repeated, Al-Rahman Al-Rahim. Why is the first verse repeated now again? It is repeated again because what interrupted this understanding of this perception of God, what blocked it was that some people said that he is their Lord exclusively, that he created them, raised them up, and evolved them. That's what it means. Lord means created and evolved all together. So it is all in the human being, but also evolves him. So it is a little stronger than parent, but this word is taken originally from a word that means parent. And the expression is in the Quran, where we still have that connection in the expression of my parents, who raised me from a small child when I was helpless, who raised me up from helplessness from a small child, depending on its parent. The word is Rabbian for the two parents. Who did that? Rabbiani Sagira, when I was a little helpless life. So we have Rab in there still, that connection. So the parent received the life from the creation of God, and then the parent takes care of that life and helps that life along until it can manage for itself, seeing that it has opportunity to develop and reach its manhood, to reach its maturity, to reach its womanhood or manhood. So this is how God and some of our best teachers explained it. It is not just my way. This is the traditional way of explaining this in Al-Islam. So wound of creation, the body, then wound of intellect, revives the wound that bore you. So God is also the one who takes us from the wound of our mother in the two main pictures. One is the picture of just nature, life, and other is another picture, because man and woman are more than biologic. Men and women are consciousness and intelligence. So here is the one who takes us from the womb of our mother. The world created itself as a material body is our womb. So the womb of our existence. So we are born out of that womb. The womb of creation itself physically, but also mentally, also as a conscious, intelligent being. Mentally is not enough to say it. God says also as a conscious, intelligent life. So we are taken out of the womb of creation, and it's God that gives us an intellectual birth. We can't have it without God. We can't have abortion and breech birth. We can have these incorrect deliveries, but we cannot have the perfect delivery that God created us for without God. So it is God also who takes us from that. So we are going to ease your way to a state of ease. And you are going to teach, and we are going to teach you so that you will not forget. That is the parent, isn't it? And we are going to open up opportunities for you. God is saying this like a parent. God took him when he was helpless, like a little baby, lost without anyone to care for him, and took him and comforted him like a mother does a little baby, then nourishes him step by step. Every time a need arose, God was there to prepare him to get the benefit and not suffer except a little, but get the benefit. Or even if he had to suffer much, the benefit was so much greater that the suffering was forgotten. So this is the God of mercy. So it is repeated, Al-Rahman, pardon me, after Rabbil Alameen, the one who has come, who has done this for the whole world, is certainly Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim. That's why it is repeated. They got the problem of the Lord of Israel out of the way, and now you see that the Lord is the Lord of all the worlds. He has done this all over the world. Now say it again, Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayat 4, Master of the Day of Judgment. So the next verse is Maliki Yawm al-Din. All of this is addressing the wholeness of the world. a wholeness of the human life. That is what it is addressing. So this is a universal message with a focus on the whole world and the universal plan of God, not a regional plan, national nor local plan, but a universal plan of God. Do you see? So this is a universal message, and it is fulfilling its mission. It has a mission, not only a message. It is a message, and its mission is to bring the kindness and mercy, gifts, and blessings of God to all his creation without any unjust discrimination. This is the message. The Quran, Surah 95, Ayat 8, Allah best to judge. Mark 12:36, sit on my right hand. So you say your God is the king. Your Lord is also the king of Israel. So he is the God of Israel. He is the Lord of Israel. Is he also the king of Israel? No, this is the king. This is the real judge, the real master of the day of judgment. The same one, not a different one. The same one who is the master of the day of judgment. It is the one that scripture says, sit down at my right hand. No, the same one who is the master on the day of judgment, with no one sitting at his right hand in the judgment. No, there is no one sitting at his right hand in the judgment. So he is the judge alone, and he is the one who can be judged. Another reference to God in this connection that touches me when I was a young man studying the Quran. To know the religion, the Quran says, who is better to judge, the one who created and has existed always, or the one who came later and is himself created? Think about that. I thought about it. I said, this is a terrible error that the world made, a terrible injustice to God. This is not fair. This is a bad way to treat God, who has given us everything, created everything for us. And now we are going to go somebody else, comes to redeem us and judge us. What do they know about us? They just came here like we did. What do they know about the beginning of our sins with Adam? They weren't here when Adam was created. They didn't see Adam in his life, how he lived it. The only thing they can do is have some revelation from God to understand that themselves, now are they going to be judged, be the judge? They can't judge it. So God is the judge. He is the king. This word Malik has reference to judge. It has reference to king also. King, judge, and master. They translated master because of the king is a ruler over the people. So this is used in the language of man's history and life tradition, the evolution of his language, the nature and the development of his language. So he says king, it means the master. No, God is the master. God is the king and also judge on the day of judgment. So when you put it with the end day, the final day, then it becomes judge, right? Because it is always addressing scripture that came before. This means master of the day of judgment. And the judgment is that deen, the same word that is in religion, right? So deen, day of judgment, day of death. So the judgment, Yom Medin, when you put the term Yom Medin, it becomes the day of judgment. But without Yom going before it with that reference to the day of judgment in scripture, in the language of the people of the book, it means what? The religion. Ad-Din means the religion. But in Arabic language, Ad-Din doesn't necessarily mean religion. Ad-Din comes from a word day that also means death. So it means the day of religion. It means the day of judgment. Yes, we know that. But what in its root meaning, what does it stem from? It stems from the idea that we are all indebted to God and our life should be lived in a way to pay up the debt. We all are indebted to God and our life should be paying up the debt. You pay up the debt with your life. Dean, religion shows man how to pay the debt. So the day of judgment is the day when we pay up the debt. And I'm sure the meaning is in all people's religion, that belief in the judgment day. It is a day when you're going to pay the debt in full. So the revelation Quran came and gave us a new meaning of religion. So what is religion? Religion is the way that God gives us. I'm talking about it as revealed religion now. Not just religion generally speaking. Man has different religions, but the religion that came from God to man, it is guidance or light to show man how it is, how he is to pay his debt. So God has given you life, and you have a debt to live it according to God's plan for your life because he gave it to you. That is the debt, right? So God gives you life. You didn't create yourself. You didn't give yourself life. So you have a debt to God, and the debt is live life the way God intended for you to live it. And that's how you pay up the debt. And that is religion. Isn't it the same? See how clear it is? It is the same. To you we worship, serve. Man gives his whole life to God in service to each other, in part. If I live my life in the way that God, the Creator, who gave me this life, intended me to live it, I am living my religion. But God didn't just leave us with that. God gave us the light so that we could see exactly what we are doing, what we are to do to have al-Islam in our life as a way of life, a guide, a pattern to follow and obey, etc. So what is the next verse referring to? I think we understand when I say master. Each verse is referring to a problem that existed before, right? Iyyaka na'budu, translated, to you alone do we worship. So worship means serve. To you alone we serve as a servant, a slave. To you alone do we give our life in service. Our whole life is given like a slave gives his whole life in service to his master. So to you alone, God, we give our life. It is talking about the whole life because you know we serve each other, don't we? But we don't give our whole life to anybody, only God. It's talking about the life. So you alone do we serve and you alone do we beg for help. Nasta'in means seek assistance from God. Now, we know we seek assistance from each other, too. We are helped by each other. Parents help their children, and children, in turn, help their parents. So we are helping each other. So this help is just like that. This help must be understood in the context of this chapter. It is talking about help for the whole life. Help for the whole world, not help for somebody that needs a job or help for somebody that needs to get off of alcohol or drug. It is not talking about that help. It includes that help. But this is mainly addressing help that we need to manage this life and this vast creation, especially on earth with other human beings. So this is the help it is talking about. The Quran Surah 61, Ayah 14, Jesus, who will be helpers. So when Jesus asked his companions in the Quran to be his helpers, they replied, their reply was, "We are your helpers for God." But actually, it means to get where God wants us to go. So we are your helpers in the path of God, to God. Now, that language, that term path, is not there in the language at all. But that is what it means. We are your helpers in the path of God to arrive at the destination to meet God. So we are your helpers. It is not quite this language. A different word is used. The term Ansar, the disciples of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, that word means helpers, like the Ansars of Medina. They helped the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, who was badly in need of people to respond to him so he would be able to establish the Ummah. Seek you for help. It is for the purpose of life. So this help is not just help for little tribal things. This is help in the big picture. All of Al-Fatiha is the big picture. It's talking about the whole picture, help for the big cause, etc. So we turn only to you for that help. Now, can you see how clear it is? You can't turn to anyone else but God. He designed the creation. He made it. If you go against his will or his purpose in it, you are going to have trouble. He put it in under the law, etc. So if you don't know what you are doing, you're going to have trouble. I can't go to somebody who just came last year and get help from the big cast how to live in God's creation. I must turn to God who made creation to know how to live in his creation. So you alone, now you understand, is right. A lot of us, we read this all the time, but we don't understand it. You alone. You turn to your mama. You turn to me. You will turn to a bum out there in the street. If he has the one that has what you need at that time, right? So you turn to everybody for help. You turn to many, pardon me, you turn to many things for help. Farmers turn to land for help. God isn't the only one we turn to for help. That's readily understood. So this is what it is saying. To you alone, and we try to rationalize it. Whatever help comes to you, it comes from God through something else. It is talking about help for the purpose that God created you for. Help to arrive at the destination. Help for the purpose for which God has created you. So this is what we need. So we need help to live our life in the context of God's creation or this material universe, and particularly in the context of man as a global community or society. So the Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 213, man, community was one. And this is the language that's freeing us to live with each other as one community. Yes. God said, and your community was one, was once one community. This is Al-Fatiha, comes to prepare us for that. Al-Fatiha, we can discuss this until next year this time, if God keeps us awake, keeps us on this floor, and sustain us. It is so rich and so full of so many things, it would take volumes and volumes. Many have written volumes on this seven verses. Be patient with me. And we are going to complete this. And we are going to go into something else. But it might take a little longer because the sun may rise. In fact, the sun is rising now. It is about 7:30 a.m. The sun will rise, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a good time for the sun to rise at 7:30 a.m. So this verse we have made some comments on it, and I think you understand clearly what I'm trying to pass on to you. So body forms cross balance is at the shoulders. So Quran Surah 3, Ayat 102, die not except as Muslims. So when you are looking at man with connections of master, the earth that he's born out of and lives upon and works upon, works with, look at man separately from earth, the balance is here at the shoulder. And the base of the feet is still at cross, isn't it? So actually his own posture in the upright position is a cross. And God says, "Thou not accept in that state as of a Muslim on the cross." But not that cross that they are talking about. The cross of the balance of life for human beings. Die not except in the balance that God wants for your life. Die in that upright state, in that balance. And it just doesn't mean die physically. It means do not give up your consciousness to something else, to another idea, to another person. Do not give up your consciousness except that you be upright and in the balance. So path one, Sirat, refers to composite soul, path of knowledge, brain. Two, Sabil. So the word for path is Sirat. But there are other words for path. God's path is referred to most often as Sabil, not Sirat. So Sabil is a very general term and used for God to include all that man's life need to reach where it is supposed to go. So the guidance for the whole life to help man arrive where he is supposed to go is the Sabil of God. So in that path, we have an obligation to give charity, to defend the faith, to do many things in that path. But this term Sirat is referring to human's life, the soul, complete human life, and the intellect, the whole composite creature. With all these systems that I referred to last night as different lives in him, moral, mental, life, etc. So this Sirat is really a path of knowledge. It's more than about the strongest references to the path of knowledge, the path of development of your brain, your human intellect. So this is the path of the development of the human as a rational being with an intellect. So it is Sirat al-Mustaqim. Now, you can understand why it's vertical. We start on the ground and we go up from the base. That's a vertical growth. But don't forget the movement is also horizontal because we move. We do not stand in one place. So now we can understand that this is the path of those that God favored with the immediate reference to Abraham. Na'im is blessing. And then it also, barakah, but it's bigger and richer and more inclusive than just blessing that we see in the world and in the word barakah. So we say Ramadan Mubarak, right? So that's from barakah. Na'im, na'amah, is the blessing that comes after cut off from the blessings, and we were still looking at it in this big picture. So this is not just blessings of health. God bless me with health. I don't have a cold, the flu, like everybody here. I don't have this disease or that disease. So this is a blessing too. But this is a much bigger blessing than that. This is the blessing that man needs to spend his life for in this world and to have it at peace, a peaceful existence and a prosperous life. So this is the blessing after it has been cut off. So Quran Surah 31, Ayah 13, oppression, worse form of shirk. Abraham, father, prayed, then left. So Abraham was the one referred to because his father was a wise, powerful man. He was a ruler in the time of Abraham, but his father was also an idol worshiper. And it was God who guided Abraham to rebel against the idea of worship of his father. Shirk idol worship. Shirk idol worship is the worst form of oppression. Abraham was given wholeness for his intellect. So we have a figure in Adam that was whole, complete, and perfect in his creation, but in his consciousness, he was not. In his intellect, he was not. He had yet to reach the destination. So Midler, universal hope, Sunnah of Abraham. So Quran Surah 16, Ayat 123, follow Abraham's way. So Abraham comes and he gives himself to God, and the world is demanding now this universality is in his day. The world was demanding that universality that makes it possible for all men to live and work together in peace as brethren, and God gave that to Abraham. God says in the Quran, you are the leader of the nation. Refer to his way as a sunnah. The sunnah of Abraham, the upright in faith. Much is to be said about this. I hope I don't hold you like I used to do on Stony Island. That punished me and you. The middling of Abraham, this term middling, means a hope. They translated different ways. They say the order of Abraham, but literally means the hope of Abraham. God is opening up his eyes, and he saw where mankind should go. And it was his hope how to get there or get him there. Others were to inherit that responsibility. And so the way it shows how to get there. So we have the Sunnah of Abraham, the upright in faith. And then we have the Sunnah of Muhammad, which we will come back to. Inshallah, maybe. So wrath, the path of whom you bestow favors, your grace, favors, your blessing, not the way of those who earn your punishment, not those who you invited. Your wrath came down on them. Now, who earned their wrath? Those that didn't see the big picture, the wholeness of the matter, the wholeness of life for the human being. They didn't see it, the big picture. And because they missed the big picture, they didn't walk the path of rational intellectual growth and development. They thought they were on it, but they were not. And really, the great wrath came upon them because they got out of the path. In the path is the mercy and grace of God. Out of the path is the wrath and the punishment. Yes. So punishes from man's own creation. The Quran Surah 3, Ayat 117, Allah wrong not but from self. So don't think of God as someone with a whip in his hand. That's not the God. The whip is in your creation. And the God says it is not God that harms you. It is you that harm your own self. You have wronged your own soul. So we need a creature of God, existence and purpose that doesn't do a disservice and a discredit our intelligence God created us with. Look how long mankind has been living with a picture of God that actually does not deserve to his own intelligence and disrespect his own intelligence. A big disrespect. Man has been created to have more intelligence than that, and to have more sense than that, to not to accept stupid ideas that go contrary to the direction in his intellect or in intellect life of his intellect, heart, soul, and spirit. Takilin means heavy weight, the Quran, Surah 73, Ayat 5. We send down a weighty word. So this is a big matter here. This is no small matter. That's what I'm trying to impress upon you, brothers and sisters. This is no small matter. This is a big matter. And God says we are going to entrust to you a weighty word, not a light word, a heavy, weighty word. So this is no small issue. When you know religion in the right way, you are supposed to be builders of the world in service to God. That's what you are supposed to be. So you can't be satisfied just to have hymns, books, and zikrs, eat and go to sleep, and have sex like a dog or a cow or something. You can't be satisfied with that. This religion opens up your mind and makes your mind as big as the sun. And the sun is rendering a great service to life on this earth. So Allah says, I am making man, not let us make man. So Quran Surah 2, Ayat 30, I am going to place a Khalifa in the earth. So Genesis 1:27, let us make man. So I mentioned it many times. I have to tell you again, because I just read this more and more. I'm beginning to understand what Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, was saying when he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the archangel Jibril his creation. It is important to know how he addressed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the angel said, Rabbi, my Lord. Rabbi means he did not evolve himself. God evolved him. So nothing exists until God thought it in existence. God was existing alone. So this is the teachings of the prophet, the majestic, and all of the rightly guided servants of God. As God extended alone before there was anything, it did not say angels were existing. So where did they get this idea that angels were existing? God says, like us, God says, like us, let us make man, in the Bible, not in the Quran. In the Quran, God says, I am making man. It did not say, let us correct, let us use the correct that idea in the Bible. In the Bible, it says, let us make man in our own image and likeness. In the Quran, it says in Arabic, Inna ja'alun fi'ati khalifa. Surely I'm making in the earth a khalifa. It did not say we. That has direct reference to what the Bible says. So khalifa is from the word meaning past, Adam's life. So the Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 30. I'm making a khalifa in the earth. The Quran, Surah 27, Ayat 62, I'm making a khalifa in the earth. The Quran, Surah 18, Ayat 110, I am a mortal like you. The John 14, 20, I and you and you and me. I'm giving you these quotes so that you can look it up yourself in the Quran so you can get a better understanding. So we have Adam as our first father, and he is called Khalifa. Where does the word Khalifa come from? It comes from a word having in its meaning the concept from the past, in the rear, behind, not in front. So they did not have these terms we have in science nowadays, like the term inherent, native, my native life, my inheritance, hereditary. Hereditary means getting it from the past. We say in science, this is hereditary traits, a hereditary aim in human life. So when we say that, we are meaning that it is something that we did not come here with except for our parents. We were before us. Who were before us, pardon me. So we received it from them. We inherited it, or we get it from their genes, from their natural life form. And they got it from their previous ancestors before them. And it traces all the way back to the beginning of time. And we say Adam. It goes back to Adam. So the world of science is saying the same thing that God says when I say I am making in the earth a Khalifa, I am making an inheritor in the earth. Later on, God speaks of inheritors, but he first mentioned Khalifa, which tells us, which tells is the meaning of being behind us, not in front of us. There was a phrase, unta khalif, that means look behind you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a khalifa, and if Adam, the first man, were made to be a khalifa, then all of his children have the possibility of being khalifa. Every human being is made khalifa, but some of us are not brought to see that, to see ourselves in the mold consciously. So we are not consciously aware of it, but it is in our nature. God has made no human with something that other human beings did not have in their nature. So whatever Allah made any human being to have in his nature, he made all human beings to have that in his nature. Hence, Jesus Christ said, I in you, and you in me. And Muhammad the prophet was told by God to say in Arabic, Kul ani basharun basharun muflikun. Kul ani basharun muflikun. Translated, I am a mortal human person like you. Meaning whatever you are created, your material creation is the same as my natural creation. So that makes sense to me, and I like that. My mind do not have to be paining, do not have to be hurt. I do not have to hope that I have something else said to me behind that so I can get rid of this feeling that makes me suspect that I should not listen to you anymore. I see human beings. I see birth of human beings. And my own intelligence tells me that all human beings come here alike. They do not come here superior to one another. It is the opportunity that they get in this world that makes some excel, some do not, because of the bad circumstances or good circumstances that they get in. So this in this world. So this is what comes to my mind as an intelligent person. All of us should pride ourselves as being intelligent. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made no other life like a human life being so intelligent. So we should be appreciative of this special intelligence that God has given us, and we should respect it and value it. And we should be conscious of ourselves and our intelligence value and our brain value more than our joint value. So Adam, man's pattern existed before he was created. So the Quran Surah 3, Ayat 96, Kaaba, built for all mankind. So the Quran Surah 9, Ayat 107, pray in the mosque built on taqwa. So we offer the following to you who love truth. God says of that house that it is the first and the most ancient of the house built for all people. And then he says that I am making a khalifa on the earth. And here is another symbol whose existence goes back to the first man and then goes back to the creator. So his model, his nature, his form was with God even before he was made. Before he was made, his form and pattern was with his Lord, his God. So the Quran Surah 2, Ayah 30, next, refers to the non-physical person. So he made them from one soul. Nets means person. But in this respect, is never thought of as physical or material person, not as flesh. So the flesh body is called something different, like in English, we say persons or body, etc. So we have different terms. We say body, and you think of a material body. So when you say person, you think of a particular person by name. So when you speak of persons as persons, you speak of them with some knowledge of them as a person. And if you have knowledge of them as a person, your knowledge of them as a person is more important than you, your knowledge of them as flesh. I can see a person one time and see what you have been seeing for 50 years, and I don't need to see anymore. I saw his flesh, and it was enough for just a couple of minutes. I don't have to see his flesh for 50 years like you did. But you have seen what I have not seen. If I am just meeting that person physically, you have seen the person inside of the flesh. And that is what this is talking about. So each person has a psyche and a psychology. So next is from the same word that you get the word psych or psychology. This word next is next in Quran. And the Arabic language is more closely related in meaning to the physical, a psyche of the human person than it is to anything else. And you know from psyche you get psychology. The psychology does not always refer to the study of the mind. Each one of us have our personal psychology. For each person there is a psychology, not only a psyche. Psychology refers to responding spiritually. So psychology means that the way you are most likely to respond and behave spiritually. So this is why I said you are a spiritual body more so than a material body. So in the world, we study it and call it psychology. In religion, we call it spiritual sciences. So the spiritual sciences of the human nature and behavior is from Nefs and Wahida. He made two from one soul. We have to get away from thinking Adam and Eve in material sense, flesh. A lot of the students of religion have come with these words, wrong ideas. So angels, Iblis, jinn, human. Iblis was not a true angel. So the Quran Surah 2, Ayah 30, will you create one who will shed blood? The Quran Surah 7, Ayah 12 to 13, Iblis refused to bow. You made me fire him mud. The Quran Surah 15, Ayah 28 to 31, angels submitted to Adam, not Iblis. Al-Hadith, page 3, 131 and 7, Prophet Jinn became a Muslim. So we will continue with this tomorrow, inshallah. And we want to remind you to say a dua, a prayer, for our beloved sister, Aisha, Finis, Kamal, Judge Bashir's daughter. Her janazah was today. And we ask everyone to say a prayer for our beloved sister and also pray for our ancestors that didn't know how to pray. So with that, we thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise Mirage Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.